Welcome to Shir and Sfarno Parshas Balak. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Shlomo and Suri Hagler and Mendy Hagler, marking the yard site of their mother, Liba Bas Isser. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. You see much of Nachas Ruach and the Tarmitzos and Maisim Tovim that the family is involved in. I want to start at the beginning of the Sedra, some comments of the Sfarno that sort of set the stage for the involvement, the fear that Moav has of the oncoming Jewish people and the hiring of Bilam to curse the Jewish people. So, at the very beginning of the Sedra, the Sfarno writes that Ra'a Shebikesh Yisrael Lavor Be'eret Sichon, Balak, the king of Moab, saw that Yisrael had sought to pass through the land of Sichon, Hukshalo Nosan Lavor Hechrimuhu. And when Sichon, at the end of Parshas Chukas, did not allow the Jewish people to pass through his land, so they conquered him. They conquered his army. They took over his land. And Balak also saw that Klal Yisrael had been successful in their fight against Sichon in a way that went above and beyond the regular strategies of war. In other words, it was miraculous that Klal Yisrael were able to be successful against Sichon, and then that prompted the people of Moab to be nervous that something similar would happen to them. Let's just see the next pasuk in the Sfarno's interpretation, and then we'll see what's striking about this interpretation. So the pasuk says, again, the first pasuk starts off, Vayar Balak ben Tzippor eis kol asher asa Yisrael lo Amori. Balak Balak ben Tzippor saw all that Klal Yisrael had done to the Amori, to Sichon, how they had conquered their land when Sichon refused to allow the Jewish people passage through. Then the pasuk says, "Vayagar Moav mipnei ha'am me'od ki ravu." Moav became very afraid from the people from Klal Yisrael because they were numerous. Vayakatz Moav mipnei bnei Yisrael. And the people of Moab became disgusted from Bnei Yisrael. What do those words mean? So the Sfarno says as follows. Vayagar Moav. Moav became afraid. Elei Moav shalonasnu Yisrael lavor. The mighty men, the leaders of Moab, became afraid because they had done exactly what Sichon had done. Sichon had not allowed the Jewish people passage. And the people of and the rulers, the officials of Moab, had also not allowed the Jewish people passage. As we learned the Haftarah this past Shabbos, where Yiftach, years later, tells the people of Ammon that when Klal Yisrael were coming out of Mitzrayim, they sent to the king of Moab asking passage to go through his land, and the people of Moab did not allow the Jews passage. So that fact is told to us by Yiftach. And then Vayakots Moav, the people of Moav became disgusted. Hamon Moav, not the leaders, but the populace of Moav, Kotsu b'chayeyem, they despaired of their lives. Their lives had no meaning for them anymore. Bnei Yisrael hasholelim osam, because of Bnei Yisrael who were coming and they were plundering, or the thought that Bnei Yisrael might come and might plunder the people of Moav. What seems to emerge from some of these comments of the Sfarno is that the people of Moab feared that Klal Yisrael would conquer them and would take over their country in a way similar to what they had done to Sichon and to Og. Now that's the beginning of the Sedra. Vayar Balak ben Tzippor eis kol asher asa Yisrael lo Amori. What prompted the fear of the people of Moab is that they saw what Klal Yisrael had done to the Amori meaning Sichon and Og. Just as Sichon and Og had been conquered by the Jewish people, by Klal Yisrael, so too the people of Moab feared that a similar fate would befall them, and they reasoned that it was likely that a similar fate would befall them because they had reacted in a way similar to Sichon. Klal Yisrael had asked passage through the lands of Sichon. Sichon had refused. Klal Yisrael had conquered those lands. So when Klal Yisrael had also offered to Moav to go through the land of Moav, they'd asked Moav to go through their lands, and Moav had denied passage to the Jewish people, So this also they feared would result in the Jewish people conquering the land of Moab. Now, this presentation that Klal Yisrael, that at least from the perspective of Moab, they were afraid that Klal Yisrael might conquer their land and take them over, stands in contrast to the position of the Ramban in the beginning of the Sedra. And again, as we see so often with the Sfarno, he doesn't tell you when he's agreeing with other Rishonim, he doesn't tell you when he's disagreeing with other Rishonim. In very, very terse language, he presents his perspective on the Psukim, and then it's up to us to figure out, you know, what he's reacting to in the perspective of other Rishonim. But it's worthwhile, and I think it's striking that the Ramban here seems to take a different position than what the Sfarno is outlining over here. I'll read you a few lines from the Ramban. V'hine yadu Moav, this says the Ramban, v'hine yadu Moav, the people of Moav knew, ki Yisrael lo yilkudu es arzo mehem. The people of Moab knew that Klal Yisrael was not going to conquer the land of Moab. How did they know that? Ki shalchu lohem kasher shalchu l'Sichon, because just as the Jewish people had sent to Sichon asking passage through his land, they had sent a similar message to the people of Moab, as described in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Perek Beis. Adasher evaris hayarden elaharis asher Hashem elokeinu nosein lanu. We just want to pass through your land on the way to Eretz Yisrael, to the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to us. We have no designs on your land. We just want a highway through your country. We're not interested in conquering you in any way. Oh, so the people of Moab knew that Klal Yisrael had no designs on their land. Oh, Shishamu, or alternatively, the people of Moab had heard Gamkein, Menias Hashem, Sha'amar Lohem, Atotzar Es Moab. Or perhaps the people of Moab were aware of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, as recorded at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Altat Saras Moab, don't do anything to make life miserable for the people of Moab, leave the people of Moab alone. So the people of Moab perhaps were aware, says the Ramban, of the fact that Klal Yisrael had been commanded, leave the people of Moab alone. And that's why, so according to the Ramban then, so if the people of Moab knew that they were safe, so what was bothering them? What were they fearful of in the beginning of Parashas Balak? V'lachein amru l'ziknei Midyan, the people of Moab said to the elders of Midyan, afilu shlo yilkedu es artzenu. Even if the Jews don't actually conquer our land, we're not worried that they'll conquer our land. Yilachachu berubam es kol svivoseinu kilachol chashor es yerek hasada. What are we afraid of? We're afraid that they'll conquer the surrounding lands. And that's the Lashon HaPasuk, that's what the Pasuk says in Pasuk Dalet. Ato yilachachu akol es kol svivoseinu. Klal Yisrael are going to lap up, they're going to lick up all of the area around us, kilochol chashor es yerek hasada, just as the ox comes and it licks up all of the vegetation in the field, meaning we're not worried what they're going to do to us, we're worried what they're going to do to our surroundings. V'yilkudu lohem es kol svivoseinu. They'll conquer all of the area around us. Kasher asu l'shnei malchei ha'emori. They'll conquer the area around us, as they did to Sichon and Od. V'yitnu osanu l'mas oved. And ultimately, that will mean that although we'll be able to be still in our own country, ultimately, Klal Yisrael are going to be such a force in the region that they're not going to conquer us, but they're going to demand taxes. They're going to demand all kinds of gifts from us in order to keep them safe, and we won't lose our autonomy, but we'll lose our strength in the region because of the presence of Klal Yisrael. So that's the Ramban understands. The whole concern of the people of Moab is not that they're going to be conquered, but rather that they're going to be outflanked, they're going to be outnumbered, and that itself gives them pause and is, you know, scary enough that they want to hire Bilam in order to curse the Jewish people. That's not the impression that you get from the Sfarno. The Sfarno seems to be saying, no, the people of Moab were literally afraid that the Jews would conquer them. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells Klal Yisrael in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Al Totzar Es Moab. All right, so the people of Moab were not so well-versed in Sefer Dvarim. Okay, you know. Right, you know, so, you know, they didn't know this, you know, even the Ramban presents it as a possibility. What's that? Yeah. Oh, okay. So very good. So The Ramban presumably would say that there's a very big difference between what happened with Sichon and what potentially could happen with Moav. When the Jews asked Sichon, can we go through your country? Sichon says no. But then Sichon takes his army and he goes out to fight Klal Yisrael. So in a sense, Klal Yisrael's war against Sichon is a defensive war. In other words, he starts up. Which is a very, very clear distinction, presumably, between what Sichon did and what Moav did. Apparently, according to the Sfarno, either the people of Moav were not aware of the order of events. They just knew that there was a war between Sichon and the Jewish people. Or they felt somehow that the Jewish people had lured Sichon out, and that they would do something similar to him. In other words, they didn't appreciate that Klal Yisrael were reactive to Sichon. They thought Klal Yisrael first asks if they can pass through a certain land, and when they're told no, so then Klal Yisrael goes after the defending country and fights with them. Is there any basis for making that assumption? So the truth is, if you look back at last week's parasha, we find the example of Edom, which stands in marked contrast to what happened with Sichon. Right? So in last week's parasha, Perek Chav Pasuk Yudalid, Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh HaMelech Edom. Right, Moshe sends messengers to the king of Edom. Nabro Navi Artzecha, please let us pass through your land. Vayomer Elov Edom Lo Savor Bi. So Edom says back to the Jewish people, I will not allow you to pass through my land. Pain, but Bacherav Etzelik Rosecha, lest I go out and fight you with the sword. Vayetze Edom Lekroso Biam Kaved Uviyod Chazaka. Right, so then Edom as well goes out to fight the Jewish people, Ba'am Kaved Uviyod Chazaka, with a heavy nation and with a strong hand. So it sounds like the king of Edom reacts to the request of Klal Yisrael to pass through their land in a way similar to that of Sichon. They go out in a menacing fashion. So, they go to protect the border. They're not going to allow the Jews, entry past the border. So the truth is, what the people of Edom do seems remarkably similar to the people of Sichon do. Except when it comes to the people of Edom, Klal Yisrael to say, okay, thank you so much. They turn around, they don't try to cross the border. And when it comes to Sichon, Klal Yisrael engage Sichon. They have a war, they're successful, and they take Sichon's army down, and they ultimately conquer the entire area. So Moav perhaps figured as well, we're not just going to say no. What does it mean, no, you can't come to our border? It means we're going to line up on the border with our swords. And, maybe they left the people of Edom alone, but when Sichon did a similar kind of thing, they attacked him, they took over, and we're afraid that a similar fate is going to befall us. So, indeed, if you look at the way the Sfarno interprets the Psukim here, it's striking that it's strikingly different from the interpretation of the Ramban. So in Pasuk Dalid, right, we had the Pasuk Vayomer Moav Ozikne Midyan Ato Yilachachu Akol Es Kol Svivoseinu Kilcho Chashor Es Yerek Hasoda. Now the Jews are going to come and they're going to eat up all of the area around us, just as the ox licks or eats up the vegetation of the field. The Sfarno interprets Ato, now Shekovshu Eretz Sichon VeOg, now that the Jewish people have conquered the lands of Sichon and Og, Yilachachu Akol Es Kol Svivoseinu, they will lick up the whole area around us. What does that mean? Laharchiv Gvulam Ulahavticho. The Jewish people are going to expand their borders and make their borders even more secure. So in other words, the people of Moav, according to the Sfarno, are not simply worried, like the Ramban says, about the Jewish people taking over the surrounding areas and making them uncomfortable, making them not as powerful a force in the region. They're literally afraid that Klal Yisrael are going to come, they're going to conquer their lands, they're going to conquer the land of Moav, and apparently they were not aware of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Al Totzar Es Moav, don't start up with the people of Moav. That was not something that they were aware of or something that they believed that Klal Yisrael were actually going to keep. There's another interesting point, which the Sfarno makes in our reading of the Sedra. So at the end of Pasuk Dalud, we read the Pasuk, Uvalak ben Tzipor melech lemoav bo'esahi. Balak ben Tzipor was the king of Moav at that time. It's a little bit interesting that we've just read about Balak for the past three psukim, and now we're first being introduced to the idea that he's the king of Moav. Right, the Sedra starts off, Vayar Balak ben Tzipor. This guy, Balak ben Tzipor, right, sees the Jewish people coming, and he's afraid, and you know he's having conversations with the Ziknei Midian, with the elders of Midian, and then almost like an afterthought in Pasuk Dalud, Balak ben Tzipor melech lemoav bo'esahi, you know, Balak ben Tzipor was the king of Moav at that time. You couldn't have told me that when we started off. Vayar Balak ben Tzipor melech Moav, eis kol asher aso Yisrael lo emori. Why are we waiting three psukim to tell us that he's the king of Moav? So Rashi presumably is sensitive to this question. Again, Rashi doesn't ask the question quite explicitly, but you know, implicit in Rashi's commentary is an answer to this question. Rashi writes on Pasuk Dalet, Bo'esahi, at that time, Balak was the king of Moav. What do you mean he was the king of Moav at that time? I mean, everybody's a king at the time that they're a king, right? So Rashi writes, Lohoya roi lemalchus. Really, Balak was not fit to be the king of Moav. Minesiche Midyan haya. He was really a prince of Midyan. V'kivon shemei Sichon. Once Sichon died, minuhu aleim letzarech sha'a. Right? Temporarily, the people of Moav made Balak into their king. Apparently, why did they make him into their king? Apparently, they saw that he was a powerful individual. They thought that he would be a good person to lead the people of Moav in the aftermath of the downfall of Sichon. So even though really he was not in the line of succession to the throne, he was from a different country. He was a prince of Midian. Nonetheless, Bo'esahi, at that particular time, he was chosen to be the king. So although Rashi doesn't ask the question of why the information about Balak being the king is only related in Pasuk Dalud, his interpretation can answer that question very easily. In Pasuk Beis, when we're first introduced to Balak, he's either not yet king, right, because the Sichon and Og have just fallen, right, and he's still a prince of Midian at that time. He's either not yet king, or the Pasuk is just emphasizing that, you know, even if he was king in Pasuk Beis, it's something that he came to somewhat lately. The term Melech Moav isn't one that naturally applies itself to Balak ben Tzipor. As an afterthought, after introducing Balak ben Tzipor and talking about him and the, you know, the various machinations that the people of Moav and Midian are making to try to deflect Klal Yisrael, who are, you know, coming in their direction, as an afterthought, the Pasuk says, and by the way, at that time, you know, late breaking news, you know, Balak ben Tzipor had just been appointed to be the king of Moav. It wasn't something that he came by naturally. That's the way Rashi understands over here. The Sfarno has something similar, but with a little bit of a twist. The Sfarno starts off the Sedra by saying, Vayar Balak, Balak saw, and Balak was Adam Mefursam Lemelumod Melchama. Balak was a person who was well known to be a mighty warrior. Meaning, as Rabbi Cooperman explains in his notes, the fact he may have been the rightful king of Moav. You know, the Sfarno's not getting involved in the issue which Rashi raises. You know, did he come from Midian? Was he really, a natural successor to the throne of Moav? He may have been, you know, the son of the previous king of Moav. That's possible. But his role of king of Moav is really secondary over here. What makes Balak important in the beginning of the story is that he's a man of war. He's a mighty warrior. Melumot lemelchama. Because, again, the Sfarno, going back to the point which we made before, the Sfarno imagines that what, you know, the people of Moav are prepared for when they see the Jews coming in their direction is to fight a war. They're not simply worried, as the Ramban told us before, that the Jews are going to take over the surrounding areas and weaken the power of the people of Moav. They're afraid that there's going to be an out-and-out clash of war, a direct war between Klal Yisrael and Moab, and that's why Balak in particular is the one who's afraid. He's the mighty warrior who knows that, you know, this war is potentially coming in his direction. By the way, he also happens to be king, but that's really an afterthought in terms of this whole discussion. Another interesting point, just reading the psukim. So Balak, seeing the Klal Yisrael coming in his direction, sends for Bilam. Vayishlach malachim el Bilam ben Baor Pisara asher al anor eretz b'nei amol likro lo. He sends messengers to call to Bilam. Lamor, and he tells Bilam as follows. Hinei am yotza min Mitzrayim. There's a nation that came out of Egypt. Hinei chisos ein ha'aretz. It covered over, it's so numerous that it covered over, so to speak, the eye of the land. In other words, they block the sun with how numerous they are. V'hu yoshev mimuli. And the Jewish people are encamped opposite me. V'yato. So now, he continues, L'chana orali esa'am hazeh. I want you to go and curse for me this people. Ki otsum hu mimeni. Because the nation of Klal Yisrael is more vast than what I have. Ulai uchal nakebo va'agarshenu min ha'aretz. Perhaps I will be able, that we will be able to strike against it and drive it out from the land. Now if you pay attention to the grammar over here, there's something not quite right, seemingly not quite right, with the grammar and the phrase ulai uchal nakebo. Uchal is a lashon yachid, it's a singular. Perhaps I will be able, agarshenu is a lashon yachid, I will drive them out from the land. Nakebo is lashon rabim, it's plural. We will be able to strike against them. It's a very, very odd pasuk. Perhaps I will be able, that we will be able to strike against him, and I will drive them out of the land. The grammar doesn't seem to read straight. You're switching back and forth between the singular and the plural, you know, from one word to the next. So the Sfarno writes as follows. Ulai uchal achar shetekalalehu. The pasuk starts off speaking in the singular. Bilam says about, Balak says about himself, perhaps I will be able, after you curse him, in other words, after Bilam curses the Jewish people, I will be able, nakebo, we will be able to strike him. Ani b'melchama v'ato b'klala. It's going to be a joint effort. Bilam will be called upon to curse the Jewish people, and then Balak is going to come afterwards and fight against the Jewish people in a conventional manner of warfare. So nakebo, between the two of us, will be able to strike down this threat. That's a very interesting insight into what Balak was hoping would happen, which I'm not sure if we always think about the Sedra in these terms. Again, we know that both Balak and Bilam were unsuccessful, you know, in hurting the Jewish people in any way. But what would have been the game plan had Bilam been successful? Let's say Bilam, Chalila, had been successful in cursing the Jewish people. What was Balak hoping was going to happen? I think very often we assume that Balak's hope was Bilam would curse the Jewish people. And as a result of that curse, immediately the Jewish people would be defeated. That would be it, right? So the Sfarno is suggesting that Balak's intention was to have a 1-2 punch. In other words, it wasn't simply that Bilam was hired to curse the Jewish people and that was going to be it. Nakebo, the two of us together, will be able to fight against the Jewish people. First, you, Bilam, will come and curse the Jewish people. You'll weaken them. You'll take away whatever supernatural powers they had, which were granted them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we, the people of Moab, will, you know, amass our army, will fight against them in a conventional manner of warfare, and then we'll be able to defeat them because you took away that supernatural strength that they had through your klala, through your curse. It's a two-stage process, the way the Sfarno presents what's going on. We'll just finish with the following insight from the Sfarno, which again I think is a little different than the way we normally look at the psukim. Balak says to Bilam, Ki yodati es asher tivarech mevarach v'asher ta'ar yuar. I know, Balak says to Bilam, that people you bless are blessed, and people you curse are cursed. So in other words, Bilam is a magician of many hats. He not only can curse people, but he can bless people. That's what the pasuk says. Yodati es asher tivarech mevarach v'asher ta'ar yuar. So the Svarno writes as follows. Hine kocho lo hoya levarech. You should know that although the pasuk says that Balak tells Bilam, I know that the people you bless are blessed, that's not actually true. Bilam did not have the koach, he did not have the power to be able to bless people. He was a person of tremendous negativity. He didn't have a positive bone in his body. The only thing Bilam knew how to do was to curse by mentioning the deficiencies, the sins of a person or a nation. Or as Chazal say in the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Bilam had this power to tap into that special moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry and to use that power for evil, to curse. All Bilam was capable of doing was cursing. We never see Bilam anywhere going out and blessing somebody. And says the Svarno, and it's clear if you think about it, that Bilam didn't have the power of blessing. Why is that? Lachain, lo shal mimeni shivarcheu l'natzeach, o shiuchal lis yatzeif mineged. If Bilam had the power of blessing, so then Balak should have asked Bilam, give me a bracha, right? I'm going out to fight against the Jewish people. They have all these supernatural powers. So I want a bracha. I'll give you a kvittel. I mean, you know, if it's really true that he has the power of blessing, so don't just curse Klal Yisrael. Bless us, the Moavim. You know, we could use all the brachas we could get. Obviously, says the Svarno, you see that Bilam, in fact, did not have the Kalach HaBracha. He was not able to bless. So what does it say in the pasuk? Aval Omer Yodati Es Asher Tivarach Mevarach L'Chvodo Shel Bilam. Basically, Balak was being nice and polite to Bilam when he said, "I know that whoever you bless is going to be blessed." L'Haros Shlo Chashavu Sol L'Mazik Bilvad. He wanted to impress upon Bilam, "I don't think you're just a negative, evil, destructive person. You're a person who has many talents. You can curse and you can bless, but it's not really true." Says the Svarno. He was being nice, he was being polite. Really, the only thing that Bilam was capable of doing was, bringing klala upon people. I'll just end with the following idea, which is not from the Svarno, so again, if you don't like it, money back. But we just read in Perek this past Shabbos about the differences between the Talmidim of Avram Avinu and Bilam HaRasha. Right? So, it's interesting that Avram is contrasted with Bilam HaRasha. You know, in other words, we know in a different context, Chazal talk about Bilam and Moshe as being oddly similar in a certain way. You know, B'Yisrael Lokom, B'Umos HaOlam Kom, you know, they had a similar power of Nevuah. What's the contrast between Avram and Bilam specifically? So it's interesting. So Avram Avinu was told by the Ribbono Shel Olam at the very beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, that va'avarcha mevarchecha u'mekalelcha o'or. Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses those who bless Avram, curses those who curse Avram, right? So in other words, Avram Avinu was also, in a sense, given the power of bracha and klala, but the emphasis in Avram is ve'yei bracha, you should be a source of bracha to others. And here the Svarno is telling us, Bilam also is associated with bracha and klala, but only really with klala. Avram Avinu was a source of brachas, Bilam HaRasha is the source of klala, and in that sense, perhaps, that's why Pirkei Avos aligns Avram Avinu and Bilam HaRasha as being opposites of one another. Both of them have brachas and klalos associated with them when they're introduced to us, but the emphasis of Avram Avinu is on blessing others, the emphasis of Bilam HaRasha is on cursing others. Okay, Reb Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakus Es Yisrael.